Well, happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there. We love you so much. And I want to say a special happy Mother's Day to my mom, Kathy Steele, who's obviously a huge part of Promised Land and been around our church for every single service for the last 17 years. And so, Mom, I love you so much, and I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. And my grandmother that's also watching and a part of our church, happy Mother's Day to you, Mimi, and to my mother-in-law. I want to say happy Mother's Day to Abby. We love you too. And man, I'm blessed to have all these wonderful, wonderful women in my life, moms in my life that have been so instrumental in my life. So we love you, moms. We're just praying blessing over you. We're praying refreshing over you, that you would be honored, not just today, but this whole week. I'm thinking that moms get a week this year instead of a day, okay? So let's honor our moms and love on our moms and take care of our moms, because you mean so much to us. I want to let you know that starting a week from today, next Sunday, May 17th, we are planning to be gathering again in person. And so if you would like to worship along with us in person next Sunday, we're going to give you a chance to RSVP on our website. And we obviously have limited spaces, but we have brand new service times coming out next week. And if you want to be in person, you're going to need to sign up online. Of course, we're going to have our online services going every week for you. For those of you that are wanting to stay home, our online service is going to keep on rolling along. But for those of you that are ready to come back in person and are ready to worship with us, please go to our website, psmchurch.com. All the details about what it'll look like, what it'll be like, and how you can sign your family up. We'd love to have you next Sunday. So today we have a special speaker. I am not going to be speaking to you today, but my wonderful wife, Erica Lynn Steele. Yeah, she's going to come speak. Come on, welcome Erica, my wife, up here. I can hear you at your houses clapping and just going crazy, because she is beautiful. Come on. How do you feel?
I feel good.
Happy Mother's Day to you.
Thanks.
We have three amazing kids.
Yep.
For those of you that don't know, we have an 18-year-old daughter, Kennedy, and we have a 16-year-old son, Jude, and a 13-year-old son, Avery.
Yep.
And you are absolutely an incredible mother to our kids.
Thanks.
So much so that you spoil them. You've homeschooled them many times. Then we gave up on it and sent them to public school, and now they're homeschooled again.
Yes.
So that's odd. But you're an incredible mom. But people may not know this about you, but you are also an incredible midwife. And you have helped so many women give birth. And that's just an incredible, incredible thing. And so we honor you today as mom to my kids, mom to the church as well. So please speak to us. I love you.
Okay. Mwah. I love you. Good morning. I am so glad that you all are joining us, and happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. It's so interesting, this Mother's Day. I mean, what a Mother's Day. We're online, and a few of us gather in different homes on a laptop or on our phone, on our TV, to worship and to be together in the best way that we can, in the ways that we can connect, still trying to kind of recreate this experience that we all are so used to, being in worship together. Now we're all in our homes. But the good news is that we're entering into a new season. So just like my husband was saying earlier, you know, we're about to enter into this time where things are going to change. The restrictions are slowly lifting. We're going to have service again together. And for me, that is so exciting. I mean, I missed communion with everybody, connection with everyone, getting together. And I really miss that. There is just something about being together and being in community that is so special and such a gift. And so throughout this whole time of COVID and everything that we've been dealing with, we've slowly, you know, it began with, we might have to self-quarantine and be in one place to, you have to do that, to you have to wear masks when you're out in public, to you have to make sure you're staying safe and keeping away from others and distancing yourself. And we've been so turned in and so isolated that the temptation is that as we get to this point of moving back into living our life and doing life in a way that seems more familiar and more natural to us, the temptation is to live in fear of the what ifs. What if something's still out there? What if this virus we can't see could possibly still harm us or harm someone we love? So today I want to talk a little bit about community and the good news of community, because I think we all need a little reminder of how important that is and how healing community is. And I think Mother's Day is such an appropriate time to talk about that, because moms are traditionally known as the nurturers, the caregivers. My husband says that my kids, from the time they could speak to now as teenagers, the first thing they say when they get up in the morning is, "Where's mom? Where's mom?" And so so there is something about Mother's Day and community that seem to fit together so well. Community is a place of healing. Community can be a place of correction, but whenever you bring those things together, they're a place for truth and love. Community is a place of justice and mercy. It's a place at the table for everyone, even when you're broken, because we're all broken. We all have things in us that we could improve on or that we need saving from. So during this time, we have tended to pursue this isolation and quarantine. To what extent was appropriate? There's a portion of that that's appropriate. We needed to do that. But the further in we got, it seemed like it was getting contorted to the point that we would go into a store. You go into a store and you would see someone and you would look down and like you almost didn't want to make contact, as if somehow the eye contact would pass the germ if you happen to have it. Like, I don't look, don't make eye contact. I've got my mask, I've got my gloves, and I'm going to be really, really extra cautious, as if there were lasers there that were going to shoot out germs. So, you know, there was this inward turning that kept driving us in and in. Apologizing for being within 4 feet of someone, even if it was necessary, because there was actually no other physical space to get by in, you know, apologizing for that. And all of that drives us to the opposite place of what we were designed for. We're designed to be in community with each other, to share things we need, to borrow things from one another, to encourage one another, to give to one another. And this speaks even to the introverts that think they could live on an island by themselves and never see anyone else. Even introverts need community, need friends, need people to speak truth into their life when they're tempted to believe things that are not true. So, you know, as we're moving forward, it's so tempting to stay in that place of fear, to be paralyzed by all the unknowns, all the what ifs, and everything that we've been told to do that would keep us frozen in place, essentially. Two of my favorite scriptures that describe community beautifully are found in the book of Acts, which is what we're studying right now as a church, the book of Acts. And in Acts 2 and 44, it says, "There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." It really talks about how, to me, how the church was living in a time of persecution, when things felt uncertain and a lot like living a daily battle, a time when it would have been tempting to turn inward and keep things to yourself and not share with one another, but to protect yourself. But instead, they sold what they had and they gave to others. They came together and they ate good food together and broke bread and enjoyed one another's company. And we were designed for that. We are designed to be with one another, to love each other, to encourage each other. So, my question is, what will move you from fear and being in that place of isolation and social distancing and this hyper-vigilant state of turning inward? What will it take to move us out from that and to move us forward back into community, back into togetherness with people around us? My question also is, what if breaking the fear looks a little like giving, looks a little like action? It tends to take our eyes off of what we're surrounded by in that moment. What if we willingly gave to others? Jesus willingly laid down his life to save the heart and soul and mind of his people. He gave everything. So if we give, there's this hope of restoring joy to those around us and to our own hearts. It's fulfilling whenever we look outside of ourselves to give to others, to serve others. Giving crucifies our self-preserving, selfish nature. Giving counteracts those things. It turns our eyes off of our anxiety and self-preoccupied fears, and it raises our eyes to joy and givenness to other people. So today, what if we chose to give back? What if we gave back instead of living in the fear of, what if something happens? What if I might contract something? I might possibly do something else. What if we could find ways to serve? Research has shown that the people who perform 5 acts of giving over 6 weeks are happier than those who don't. When you give, you get reduced hormone, stress hormone levels, lower your blood pressure, and increase your endorphins. Acts of kindness reduce anxiety and strengthen the immune system. Who doesn't want that? We're all hoping to strengthen our immune system. Here is a research-proven way to do it. Acts of kindness, it reduces your anxiety, it strengthens your immune system. 5 random acts of kindness in a week can increase happiness up to 3 months later. That's a long time. Just do 5 things in a week. That's it. And for 3 months, you reap the benefits. That is a win-win situation. So maybe when we die to ourselves by giving to other people, we can break time here, and our sacrificial love breaks into eternity, going on forever. God so loved us that he gave. And in Isaiah 58 and 7, it says, according to the Message translation, It says, "What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad, being available to your own families. Do this and the lights will turn on and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help and I'll say, here I am." It's so encouraging. God saying, love each other, serve each other, to be my hands and feet to other people. A few years back, I'm sure some of you remember, there was the big wave of generosity that was going around, and it was all paying it forward. And this really came back to me as I was thinking about being in community and ways to bring joy back to the community and to each other and to our own hearts. What if we brought that back by gifting it forward? Anne Voskamp, in her book, The Broken Way, talks about gifting it forward. So giving it forward today, giving something to others. So cooking, making cookies for your neighbor, offering to mow their lawn, picking up groceries for somebody, paying for the coffee for the person behind you in line, or at the fast food restaurant because that's the only thing that's been open. Wherever it is that you are, finding a way to be a blessing to other people, it just takes our eyes off our own self, our own fears, our own preoccupations, and focuses it on being a blessing to somebody else. Giving is the beginning of breaking the fear. So another thing Anne Voskamp says in her book is, no amount of worry will change the number of days in your jar. That spoke so much to me in this season. In the season, the fear and the worry that all this causes makes us, is just another anxiety, another thing that turns us inward to be tempted to believe if we worry enough, if we do enough, if we put on enough germ gel, if we wear the mask the right way, if we change gloves every time we go somewhere, that somehow we can control the outcome of our lives. And while all those things are good to an extent, when those things become the main thing and become the one thing we hope and long for and try to control, it's an illusion. It's such an illusion. The Bible says in Luke 12 and 25, "Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" Anxiety and fear hasn't ever added a moment of abundance or joy to anyone's life. Instead, it is a thief and a robber and leads us to believe we have some false sense of control when really God is so good and he loves us so deeply that we can rest that he has it all in control. I want to encourage you today to look around, think of those around you, think of ways to serve people around you. Thinking of the neighbors who are lonely and isolated, those who need a friend, those people that might need a meal or a gift card to go to HEB, whatever it is, something simple, a way to encourage another. This Mother's Day, often Mother's Day is, you know, we're celebrating moms, but on Mother's Day, sometimes it's not a celebration for families. Sometimes they've lost their mom this year. Some women have lost a child that would have called them mother. Some families don't have a mother at all. It was their grandparents that raised them or a dad that raised them. There's not always a mother to provide that nurturing role of caregiver and nurturer. But the good news is that Jesus is our example, and he's shown us a way to live free of anxiety, free of fear, in service to others, to bring us together in community and love, and really fill us up with joy that we all so desperately need. as we are choosing to serve others and allowing joy to kill that selfishness, that self-preserving nature, we find safety and happiness that we were meant for, the community that we were meant for, the relationships that we were meant for. True joy and healing is found when we seek God together and we serve each other with love. So as we begin to step back into this new normal of life, as we might have known it before, which is may not ever look exactly the same, I hope that we can all find this place where we can break free of the fear and the anxieties that have driven us inward and reach out in joy and love and serve each other. It is just the beginning of living an abundant life. So if you pray with me today, God, thank you so much for your mercy and your love. Thank you for your goodness toward us. Thank you for being all sufficient in every moment. I thank you for community. I thank you for your truth, Lord, that frees us from things that paralyze us. I thank you for friendships. I thank you for kind words spoken on the phone. I thank you for letters that people are inspired to write to others. I just thank you for kindness. I just pray that you would have your hand upon each person. I pray that their hearts would be turned toward you and that your spirit would be with them in every moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm hearing you clapping out there. Oh, we're so thankful. We're so thankful to be your pastors, to be with you in this season. It's very difficult times, very trying times, trying to figure out how to wade through them. And Erica and I want to know that we're thankful to be able to walk through this season with you. If you have any questions or concerns or needs during this season, we want you to know that Promised Land is ready, willing and able to step in and help out in any area that you need. So please let us know. You can reach out to us via the internet. We are everywhere online. If you can't find us, you don't know how to use the internet. We're everywhere online. But we also want you to know that our office hours at Promised Land are going to go back to our normal office hours tomorrow on Monday. So if you are needing to just drop by or give us a call on the telephone, we're available. Before I let you go, I want to make sure you know that your financial giving makes a huge difference. If you haven't sown financially into Promised Land this month, the month of May, we'd love for you to go online today, make a gift to Promised Land. You can also mail a check into the church at 1650 Lime Kiln Road. Of course, the giving link is right there on our website, psmchurch.com. We love you so much, and we hope to see you very, very soon. God bless you.